I will not let you invite him to your time. I will define myself. I will write my own praises. And no one will tell me what I can do not be. I will never go wrong. Not long I've given everything I've got. Cause who am I?
I am the champion.
Who am I?
I am the champion.
Who am I?
Live at AsylumFantasySports.com and heard worldwide on the Armed Forces Radio Network, it's the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show.
We are Fligger and Briggs. He's Fligger and I am Briggs for you first-time listeners. And hey, drop us a line at AsylumFantasySports@gmail.com.
Check us out on Twitter at Twitter feed of Note Rick at Asylum Football.
Yes, indeed. And you can check us out at on Facebook, Asylum Football.
All doing the Facebook. Jump on there. Give us a big old thumbs up. Do the Facebook gimmick. We love it. Hey, to our usual listeners, let's just get the housekeeping out of the way right away, Rick. The format of the show is going to be a little different. We're going to segment it up a little bit in order to allow for the Armed Forces Radio Network. We'll be taking some breaks. It's going to sound a little odd live, and if you're listening on the podcast, if you're hearing it on the Armed Forces Radio Network, which if you are, we certainly appreciate it, it'll sound just like your normal radio show. Just wanted to throw that out there. So, Rick, I think we start off, before we get into the fantasy headlines, just saying what an honor it is to be on our debut on the Armed Forces Radio Network.
Yes, it is just an honor, and we are worldwide, which is really crazy, which I just love. And, yeah, thanks to everybody listening, and it is indeed an honor, and thank you very much.
Yeah, and thank you to everybody who made this happen, our buddy Dennis Farrell, Program Director of Armed Forces Radio Network. And I think I speak for both of us when I say we're honored to be on the air and honored to entertain, loosely, we'll use that, yeah, with such a large audience, finally, worldwide. That sounds cool to say. I'm just going to say worldwide.
And
as
a
much
prestigious
as I
audience
prestigious,
as well.
Indeed.
The best in the entire world.
And what a better
world.
Week to do it, Veterans Day week. So, perfect week to do it. So, enough of that, Rick. Let's keep it a little tighter here. Let's get into do some fantasy headlines, the headlines of the week. Big week, a lot going on heading into week 11 of the fantasy season.
Yeah, and there's a lot of NFL news going on, some police blotter material, all kinds of good stuff coming up here. And I tell you what, if you are a fantasy football player, which I got to assume you are tuning in, here we are, week 11. You are probably either right in the middle of a division race, yeah, or a league race. You may be out of it, but, you know, fear not. Play the spoiler if you had
absolutely
a rough year.
Yes, keep play it out. We'll get into it. At some point, Rick, I think for our new audience, we
definitely
need to go through the Ten Commandments of fantasy football. Don't have that prepared this week, but I think it's time to get that out to a new audience. Maybe we'll tell the story again of how I got them.
Yeah,
that
we
was
can
a pretty
do that,
good
too.
Story. So let's get into it, Rick. You mentioned the police blotter. I think we go ahead and start right there, our first police blotter of the evening.
Yeah, I think that's a great place to start. And as you all know, from the local or from our regular audience, this is where we start telling about all the little fun and frivolity,
yes,
some of the NFL players get themselves into.
Rick, Dwayne Bowe arrested,
yes,
the other night for speeding and possession of marijuana, but is expected to start on Sunday.
Well,
I found that a
is
bit interesting. So, look, Dwayne Bowe, Rick, has there been a more disappointing fantasy wide receiver in the league this year? I don't know. I personally didn't expect a ton from him. Others did. 9-0 Kansas City team. That's where I find this frustrating. Your team is 9-0 going into the biggest game of the year against Denver, and the week before that game, you're driving around getting high. Look, I'm not going to pass judgment. You do whatever you want at home. Don't get in a car and drive 90 miles an hour and do that on Broncos week when you're 9-0.
I agree. And yeah, Dwayne Bowe knows better. This is totally, in my mind, unacceptable. We've talked about Dwayne Bowe in shows past. This should be one of the guys that is the leader of this team.
No question
in the
about
lockout, in the locker room. I mean, you know, they brought in Alex Smith, which I told you was a great move, I thought, because he was a leader. You had Jamal Charles, that great comeback from the devastating knee injury. He should be that other guy right there,
right,
in the offense that is carrying that team. No, he's got to be out doing stupid stuff.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, even more stupid, he's starting.
Yeah, that explains that one too.
Yeah, I can't explain it to you. I obviously there probably will be some sort of suspension or something come down. Maybe it'll go to trial. Who knows? But
whether
he pleads guilty or he goes to trial and he is guilty, there'll be some sort of suspension. But it's still a distraction. You're 9-0. You're going against Peyton Manning and the 8-1 Broncos to either be tied for the lead in the NFC West or to get a 2-game lead.
Right.
I would think this is a big game.
Right, and here's the issue for me. You want to say innocent until proven guilty, and I've actually made that argument several times on the show, Rick. I really have. If this is a DUI, I'd feel different. He was getting high in the car. So I have to assume, I don't know what the NFL, the collective bargaining agreement says about drug tests, if they have to be random, if you can turn around and test. But if they can turn around and test, he's going to hit guilty. You don't have to let this play out in the legal system. There's a way they can determine this right away. I don't think, coincidentally, the Chiefs went out and signed Kyle Williams this week after the 49ers cut him. I think they're gearing up for a suspension. I think you're looking at a suspension for the drug use almost more than you are for the arrest at this point. So, but just stupid. That's what frustrates me. This team, everything going. I'm guessing you didn't have them at 9-0 right now. I know I certainly didn't. Game of the year. You put a stranglehold on this division if you win this game. And while Dwayne Bowe hasn't been a huge part of the offense, I think he's been a bigger part of taking coverage away. That offense runs through Jamal Charles.
And that is,
things go up the seam. They don't go to the outside, but you have that weapon that you have to contend for.
That makes is their part of the offense.
That makes their offense work.
Sure, that is part of the offense. When you're drawing top coverage, whether or not you're getting the big stats, that's still part of the offense. Let me tell you, the guy, Williams, you said signed?
Yeah, Kyle Williams from San Francisco.
Okay, you're a cornerback or a safety. Who scares you more?
Well, it's Dwayne Bowe.
There you go.
Because he hasn't done it, but he can do it.
He
we
can
know
do
that.
It.
And
exactly.
I think it's not their offense, but him drawing that coverage to his
exactly.
side is opening up the seam where Jamal Charles and all these Tony Moe, all these guys are having their success.
Now, what does that do to Kansas City? I mean, they've got Denver 2 weeks out of three. Out of
the
next three.
If he doesn't get suspended and they're willing to start him, it doesn't do anything.
Yeah, apparently,
at this point,
yeah,
I guess.
You're right, exactly.
I don't think this is that much of a distraction. I think you deal with this in the locker room, so be it. If he gets suspended, it changes a lot. It
and
really
it could,
does.
And it could be later on in the year
and
during
don't
playoff
yourself.
Time, too.
Right, and don't fool yourself. This is why he's starting, because it's wrong. If they had the Jaguars this week, they'd have gone ahead and sat him down, let's be honest.
Exactly.
All right, so moving on, Rick. Jack Del Rio says, there is no doubt that Peyton Manning will start this week versus the Chiefs, sticking with that game. So dealing with that high ankle sprain continues to aggravate it. This is a situation to keep your eye on. I don't remember Peyton Manning being banged up a lot in his career. Never took a lot of hits, and he's struggling, and you wonder, there's always been that question of his arm strength. Now you take the power out of his legs, you wonder what this means for Peyton Manning.
Well, one good thing is it's not a new injury. It's basically aggravated that ankle, and he says he can go. I saw the interview with him just today, as a matter of fact. I thought it was interesting. He has never played a game without practicing the week before, ever. And he says he doesn't believe in it, and it's just not in his makeup to do that. He says, however, with a game like this, he could go, but he plans on practicing.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
he took yesterday off,
right.
Probably today. Big
yeah, certainly
deal.
Not.
Peyton Manning.
Yeah. Yeah, he's 36, 37 years old. Why not?
Yeah, absolutely. So, but certainly something to keep an eye on. He's taking more hits for what limited mobility he
right.
had. It's certainly gone now. Rick, JerMichael Finley, sadly, looks like his career may be over, set to have spinal fusion surgery coming off that horrific injury
yeah.
a couple weeks ago. Doctors saying that the surgery more of a precaution, but in all likelihood his career is over. Boy, you hate to see that.
Oh, you hate to see it. There's no question about that. And, you know, look, he's been injury-plagued, you know, and it's kind of frustrating to fantasy owners, but on the same token, this is a talented guy. And to end it with a hit like that, I mean, well, you just hate to see it. It's terrible.
Yeah, just sad to see, career likely over. A promising young tight end, a couple of good years, some big years in fantasy. Was in the upper echelon, I think, of fantasy tight ends, but bigger fish to fry at this point. Also, sad news, Todd Christensen dies at 57 from complications from a liver transplant. Hate to see that. He's one of the guys, you don't have a lot of these, and we're going to talk about a guy, I think, similar in the next segment, but a real character. I like characters, and you don't have that anymore, and it's discouraged in the Twitter age, in the in the internet age where everybody gets criticized. You love these guys, but you also hate them. Todd Christensen, a real character, and it's a shame. At age 57, I mean,
exactly,
15 years younger than you to have that happening to him. That's sad to see.
It is. It's terrible. And, I remember Todd Christensen well with the Raiders. And, actually was running back with the Cowboys. They tried to switch him to tight end, and he basically refused. They let him go. And the Raiders convinced him, Al Davidson convinced him that tight end is the position. And, boy, he sure thrived at it, too.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So sympathies go out to Todd Christensen's family on there. A couple more things. Vernon Davis cleared to practice already with that concussion. Looks like he's going to be good to go. Killed some fantasy owners last week with that. Mike James, a big week for Tampa Bay last week. Two nice weeks, really, but then breaks his ankle, goes on the IR. Any interest in that Tampa Bay running back situation now, Rick? They signed Michael Hill. You have Brian Leonard there, that little rainy kid. Anybody move the needle for you there?
Not really, no. I mean, look, we're 11 weeks into the season. I've got better guys on my bench.
Yeah,
I mean,
I hope so. Then.
You know
Michael
what I'm saying?
Hill.
I mean, there's just not much out there. And is Hill the guy? You may get few points out of it. If you're desperate, hey, maybe you were Doug Martin and David Wilson owners and so forth. Yeah, maybe this guy may be, worth a waiver wire pickup.
Which one's it going to be? Rainey looked good in spots. Leonard just not that athletic.
I think Leonard is the safer pick. You're probably not flashy, but he's going to be the more workmanlike guy there, and he knows the system a lot better. He's been around.
And I wouldn't know Michael Hill if he walked into the studio right now, stuck out his hand and said, "Hello, I'm Michael Hill." So I'm not sure I'm going to spend
right.
a waiver wire pick on that.
Exactly.
Last bit of news before we take a break, Rick. Jake Locker out for the year with the dreaded Liz Frank.
Yeah, and he's out for the year. And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back, Ryan Fitzpatrick. There's a reason this guy's a backup. And we know he can wing it around, and he's going to have some big games, but he turns the ball over. And I don't want him on my team.
Although, there's worse backup situations to
yes,
have. I don't want
is.
Him on my fantasy team, but for
exactly.
the Titans, there's worse running back situations to have, I think, than Ryan Fitzpatrick. Move the ball a little bit. Now he's a turnover machine. That's where he gets you. Kenny Britt's been a zero. Nate Washington's disappeared. Outside of Chris Johnson, not much fantasy relevance on that Titans team as it is.
Well, there's one guy that's actually in the segment we're going to be doing later on with Tennessee, and we'll get into that later. Not totally dead. The Tennessee Titans, but I tell you what, their backs are against the wall in that division.
Yeah, no doubt about it, with Indianapolis having success. So, Rick, let's take a quick break here for our friends at Armed Forces Radio Network. We'll be right back. And we're back, Rick.
Yes, indeed. And, getting back to the Tennessee Titans real quick, they're playing Indianapolis Thursday night, of course. This is a huge game. They could fall, I think, three games back, or they could pull within one.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
if there's – can Ryan Fitzpatrick do it, I guess, is the question. I mean, not just fantasy aside, is Tennessee going to be relevant in this division? It's a crappy division, let's face it.
Yeah, can they be relevant? No. I mean, they're just not good. I mean, it's Indianapolis' division by default. We'll
right.
see where Indianapolis goes. So, Rick, we're going to do something here I don't like to do very often. I don't just like to get on here and read stuff. But this moved me. It really did. I found it interesting, and I wanted to get your opinion on it. So it's a little long. I'll get through it as quick as I can. But this comes from the Point After column in Sports Illustrated, which I really enjoy.
Well, if I go face first into the keyboard
yeah.
here, just kind of shake me when you're done reading.
I'll just
okay.
poke you when I'm done. So try to listen. But this week, a special guest columnist on The Point After, Richard Sherman of the Seattle Seahawks, a guy I quite enjoy. And I'll just read it to you. It's called If I Ruled the League. He says, "I'm Richard Sherman. I'm a guy who plays cornerback for the Seahawks and makes $550,000 a year to control a small sliver of one of 32 NFL fields on any given Sunday. But let's imagine for a moment I'm a much more powerful man, one who earns a salary of $30 million. higher than the best paid player in the league. I'm the man who, for better or worse, holds the future of pro football in his palm. I'm the commissioner of the NFL. I like where he's going already here. It's a difficult job, I'm sure, working for the owners while looking out for the welfare of the players. It always seems like a happy balance is being struck in late April when a parade of draftees crosses the stage at Radio City Music Hall, each one giving Commissioner Roger Goodell a handshake and a hug after his name is called. But for the rest of the year, it's clear that the interests of the 1,700 players pale in comparison to the importance of those of the 32 owners. But I, Commissioner Sherman, am here to fix that, so let's get started. Commissioner Sherman, I like the sound of that. The first thing I would do is give up some of my power. I'd leave the whole fine system for on-field actions to a committee of former players and former coaches. I'd create a system of checks and balances, something like a democracy. Crazy, right? If I were commissioner, I'd listen to Brandon Merriweather, and this is where it gets interesting for me, Rick. I'd listen to Brandon Merriweather because he expressed something that many players think but are afraid to say. When the Redskins safety said he was going to start targeting the ACLs of offensive players, his message was understood by his peers but confusing to fans and media. He's talking to us because we had a little rant on that. The defenseless receiver rule is forcing tacklers to target knees. Offensive players bend down to protect their knees, and if we target the waist, we collide with their heads and get fined. If we target the knees, we don't get fined, and sometimes they don't get up. That's interesting, Rick, and that's what I want to talk about. If I were commissioner, I'd listen to Hamza Abdullah, too. He's the former pro who just blasted the league on Twitter for several things, including its handling of retiree benefits. I'd streamline the system to make it easier for players who need disability money to get it. Many ex-players would rather suffer than jump through the NFL hoops. They have to do the paperwork, wait several months, go see the doctor on this day, a specialist on that day, and if they miss a deadline, they're ineligible. That's just how the league is, but not the way it has to be. If I were commissioner, I wouldn't ask a player to take a pay cut to play for a championship. Players are now paid postseason bonuses that are usually less than their standard regular season game check. That's interesting, too. The compensation should consistently mirror the profits, regular season or not. If I were commissioner, I'd be very transparent about where fines end up. In my regime, all the money from helmet-to-helmet fines would go directly to fund treatment for players suffering from injuries and head trauma. If I were commissioner, I'd give players back their individuality. I wouldn't pretend that knee and thigh pads prevent injuries. I'd never fine players for wearing the wrong length socks or cleats with too much or too little of one team color. I'd let them wear whatever they want for interviews at their own lockers. Seahawks running back Marshawn Lynch would be free to promote his Beast Mode merchandise, which supports his charity, in any way he chooses, as long as he doesn't do it during a game. I'd understand that this league is not all about the Shield and all the name brands the commissioner has sold it to. The NFL is nothing without the players, individuals whose creativity should be celebrated. If I were commissioner, I'd actually care about my players. I'd recognize that most of them don't spend more than 3 years in the NFL, and when they're done, many of them are broken in mind and body, and I'd do everything I could to genuinely help them in their transition from athlete to retiree. And if that were too difficult, if I found it impossible to do the job asked of me by the NFL owners and still do right by players, I'd do those incoming rookies the favor of not offering them a hug they'll soon regret. So, I think a lot of... Interesting, Rick. That's a problem. It took some guts, number one, and I'm wondering what blowback is going to come from that.
Well, I mean, he wrote an article and expressed his opinion. I don't see where that's a bad thing.
No, I love it. And
yeah.
He's making me rethink something. We took Brandon Merriweather to task. I don't know if it was last Tuesday or on the slant on Sunday. The way Merriweather said it, I may disagree with, but to hear Richard Sherman put it, it makes a lot of sense to me. When you're taking, and we've seen, Rick, because like everything else, it's gone too far. Obviously, you got to get this helmet-to-helmet contact out of the league.
Right, no doubt.
Now you're seeing helmet-to-shoulder contact being called. If they can't tell, they're erring on the side of throwing the flag because they don't want to miss it. Offensive guys are smart, and he's right. They're going to bend down. If you're hitting for the waist, you're going to hit him in the head. You're going to get fined. So you're going for the knees. And how many ACLs have we seen this year? A disturbing amount. Richard Sherman has a bit of a point there.
Sure, he has a point. And don't you recall the beginning of the year when they made the rule as an offensive, like even the runners too, you weren't allowed to duck your head?
Yeah, you didn't see that. You haven't seen that called.
You don't
yet.
See that called ever. But you get helmet to helmet, and it's going against the defense every single time. And I still, and I don't know where it lost the technique, but, you know, back in the day, say 25, 30 years ago, there were a lot more shoulder hits than these missile head hits. I don't know. To me, it just seems like it doesn't make a lot of sense to use your head as a weapon.
You wouldn't think.
You would think
Merriweather knocked himself out, too.
Yeah, James Starks is a pretty rough guy.
Right.
I don't know why they don't use the shoulders more, but there certainly seems to be a lot of helmet-to-helmet contact because of this technique. I don't know why, but, you know, getting back to the point, you know, yeah, he has a point. And, yeah, Brandon Marshall got fined because of the socks for the, you know, whatever it was, his charity and so forth. It is ridiculous. But.
And I think that's the point. I like that point. I have felt this way about Roger Goodell for some time now, that you take it to extremes, the discipline, the unbalanced discipline, the things guys not being suspended for, we're going to let justice work itself out. Go back a couple years ago to the Ben Roethlisberger situation, never arrested with anything, never charged with anything, and suspended for four games. This guy's just making it up as he goes, ruling with an iron fist, some of it nonsense. He brings up Marshawn Lynch's charity. You brought up Brandon Marshall fined for his socks a while back. Now, if it's something the Shield, to use Sherman's word, endorses, the pink for breast cancer, which I think we all agree is a fantastic thing.
Certainly.
But why, if you endorse it, it's okay and almost required to some point, but another guy on another day, but who cares about the color of a guy's socks? And certainly in the locker room at an official NFL press conference.
Certainly, as long as it doesn't affect the game,
right.
You know, the uniform colors and so forth, I get that. Yeah, you know, the Packers need to be green and yellow, blah, blah. You're not going to have a pink jersey and so forth.
Right, certainly.
But a pair of shoes, I remember back, you know, almost 40 years ago, L.C. Greenwood wore the gold high tops.
Right,
you know,
right.
Nobody said he wore them his whole career.
Yeah, they sit in the Hall of Fame today,
exactly.
I believe. And I know in the great hall in Heinz Field, I've
yes,
seen.
Indeed. So, yeah, to find that, it kind of brings to mind, you know, a real contrast on how he tries to wield his power for different things, like you're talking about. You get fined for wearing socks and so forth. Treat them like men.
The perfect.
Okay, go back to like Mickey Mantle and these guys. These guys, let's face it, okay, things were different back then. It was socially okay to be out smoking and drinking and so forth. However, the team had rules. If you had a curfew to be in your room or whatever at a certain time, okay, that's a team rule. See, I don't mind that. You go out and do whatever you want.
Right.
You're a man.
Grown
but
man,
since we're a team, we're in an away city, we need you in here at 10:30, you know, because this is our team, you represent our colors, our owner, our city, blah, blah. I understand that. But to say some of this ticky-tack stuff just drives me crazy.
And you look at that. Again, to your point, these are grown men. And my opinion is, if it doesn't affect their performance on the field, and that's up to the team to decide.
And
I don't care if my star quarterback goes out and gets bombed the night before the game. If he can sober up and perform on Sunday morning, I don't care what he did Saturday.
Babe Ruth.
Within the bounds of the law. Now,
exactly.
When you start getting outside the law. But there's no consistency there either. If they break the law, they don't get suspended, we got to let justice. Back to the Ben Roethlisberger situation, well, I'm just going to suspend him preemptively. Michael Vick's back in the league after a year. Other people, there's no consistency to it whatsoever. I say put some of the power back into the hands of the teams. What I liked about Sherman is we talked about Todd Christensen and what a character he was. Let these guys be individuals a little bit. You can't celebrate. Now, I don't want to get back to Joe Horn pulling a cell phone out of the goal post. I did like the T.O. autograph thing. That still made me laugh. I tend to lean towards enjoying that stuff. Let them be individuals. Let them be men. It's a place of worry. It's not all about this. We're not watching it because of the NFL Shield.
Some of the characters, you talk about characters, things that they did and got away with, maybe because they were professional athletes, but, you know, let's face it, they get away with stuff now. And things are different, obviously, because of the social media. Everybody's got a camera on their phone. But you really don't see guys like Tim Rossovich anymore. I'm sure you're not even familiar with him. He used to be a linebacker from the Philadelphia Eagles. Out one night with a buddy. Buddy says, here, pull into this bar. So he did. Right through the front door.
Nice.
And I mean, that's the type of things, obviously, I'm certainly not condoning that, but...
So you're not?
No.
You stand against driving cars into buildings.
The nicknames. You know, Mean Joe Green, the Mad Stork Ted Hendricks. You know, there's all kinds, there's just not that...
You don't have it as much anymore.
No, you don't.
And if you do, the league won't endorse it, to Richard Sherman's point on Marshawn Lynch. He has the Beast Mode nickname, but the NFL won't recognize it for marketing purposes unless they're making money off it. Marshawn Lynch has decided to market it himself for his charity, so the league wants nothing to do with it. I got a real issue with that.
I do, too.
It's not all about the Shield. I'm tired of hearing about the Shield. So kudos to Richard Sherman for that story, Rick. I thought it was just fantastic. And a boisterous guy, not afraid to speak his mind, and I think put his neck on the line a little bit out there, and happy to see it. A great article.
Yeah, he did. And the thing is, I'm kind of interested to see if there's going to be any repercussions from this.
Probably. Subtly. Not for this, but
right,
I think his leash is a little
something shorter.
Because he's always talking, and he's boisterous on the field, and he's a bit of a showman, so that's where the leash is just shorter, I think, is about the best way you can put that.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a question right before we go to break here, Rich, in the next second or so here. What is the... This is totally off the wall.
All right, hold it together.
Okay, but what is the largest tree-borne fruit?
What... Where did you get that at? What is the largest? I'll tell you what, I'm going to take the break and think that one over, Rick, because I am not sure what the largest tree-borne fruit is.
Okay.
So I will think that over. We will be back in just a minute. All right, we're back on the Armed Forces Radio Network. This is the Asylum Fantasy Football Show, answering the question on the front of all your minds, what is the largest tree-borne fruit? Now, I wanted to say pineapple, but I have on good authority, I believe, that actually grows on a bush. It doesn't grow on a tree. Somebody told me that once, and so I'm choosing to believe it.
And see, I'm sure some of the audience will know this, since we are worldwide.
Is coconut a fruit? Because we talk about coconuts
coconut
every Sunday morning.
Coconut is wrong. So don't worry about it.
So we can't go there.
It's called the jackfruit.
Jackfruit.
And it actually doesn't grow hanging on a tree. It actually grows out of the roots. But it's from the jackfruit tree.
I don't think I want to eat
fruit. Apparently they're very sweet and excellent for you and taste very good. But get this. They can go up to 3 feet long.
3 foot long.
75 to 80 pounds.
Wow.
And actually have been up to 150 pounds in weight.
150-pound jackfruit.
The jackfruit. They're grown in, Thailand, Cambodia, Southeast Asia.
So we can't
Asia
get it here. Like, I can't
nah,
go down
I don't think
to
so.
The Giant Eagle and grab one.
But I just thought, expand your mind
that's
a little
right.
bit.
That's right. We offer, it's not just fantasy sports here on the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show. It's all things useless knowledge.
Everything. Who holds the most Stanley Cup championships?
It's got to be the Montreal Canadiens.
Okay. Who's second?
Detroit Red Wings.
No. Toronto Maple Leafs.
It's been 60 years since they won one.
10 behind them.
10 behind.
Okay.
To be fair, that was a league that had six teams for a long time, so I tend to devalue those a little bit.
Well, the Maple Leafs haven't won since, I think, 64.
Right.
Okay, Major League Baseball, World Series.
Most World Series?
Yes.
It's the Yankees.
Who's second?
Cardinals.
Yes. 16 behind.
16 behind.
Okay.
Wow.
NFL championships, not Super Bowls.
NFL championships has got to be the Packers then.
Yes. Who's second?
Championships, not Super Bowls.
Right.
Bears.
Yes. Green Bay.
Man, I am good tonight.
Green Bay's 12, Chicago's 9. Difference of 3. Okay, NBA titles.
NBA titles has got, is it the Lakers or is it the Celtics? I'm going to go with the Lakers. Should have gone with the Celtics, huh?
Yeah. Okay, Boston 17,
right.
Lakers,
then the Lakers
16.
And the Bulls third, I'm assuming.
With six, yes. Yeah. Very right. good. I'm impressed.
I am impressed as well. You should be impressed. All right, Rick, let's swing it back to fantasy football.
Better than
for
your Wonder
bit.
Leg results, that's for sure.
I missed one, didn't I?
It was like...
I'm taking that thing
two
again
plus
in
two.
April. Well, yeah, but they were trick questions, if I recall correctly. Trick question. It was skullduggery, Rick, is what it was. You fooled me. So let's get back to fantasy football. Let's do a little this week, Rick, just risers and fallers. Lots of guys on the rise, especially at the important skill positions, and some guys, some big names that are just dropping fast. I'll start off with a guy on the rise, Rick. Andre Brown comes back after an extended injury, just comes back strong. 30 carries, 115 yards, and a touchdown. This is a guy I drafted. He actually got injured on our draft day of our League of Consequence, the Caveman League. I drafted him late. I sat on him on my bench all year. He comes back. Of course, I had him on the bench this week because I'm the give-it-to-me 1 or 2 weeks type of guy. 30 carries, 115 yards, and a touchdown. This is a guy who will set you up for a long playoff run if he can stay healthy.
And I don't blame any owner that had him on the bench last week because of all reports, they were going to, using the air quotes here, work him into the offense.
They worked him in all right.
All it took was one fumble by Peyton Hill. Boom, you're on the bench, pal. Andre, go get him.
Yeah, Tom Coughlin doesn't have a lot of patience for the fumble.
Not when you're working to get back into the playoff hunt, and make no mistake, they're right back into it again.
Yeah, unfortunately, they are in the playoff hunt.
And we can go real quickly before we get to the risers and fallers. You think about this. The team's mediocre records that are still alive. I mean, we already brought up the Giants, okay, the Redskins, same 3-6 record. You got the Cowboys and Eagles at 5-5 right there. You have... Of course, Carolina, New Orleans. Well, Chicago's still alive. Detroit's still alive. Green Bay's still alive.
Detroit leading the division right now.
Yeah, exactly. Arizona at 5-4 still going. San Francisco, Seattle. I mean, it's up in the... And let's face it, with all the problems, I don't look for it. St. Louis isn't out of it yet.
Right.
You know,
and on the AFC side,
it's even
watching
worse.
The end of the Steeler game, for those of you who are new to the show, we're from Western Pennsylvania. We're right in Steeler country where we broadcast from. Watching the end of the Steeler game, when it was confirmed likely that they were going to win, they put the graphic up. You know, they do the division leader, the wild card, and in the hunt. Steelers were on that graphic.
Oh, yes,
they
are.
As horrific as they've been, they are on that graphic. That mediocrity is the flavor of the year.
You have New England in the East. You have the North. We could call it Cincinnati, but they're certainly
trying,
not out of the woods yet.
Like the devil to get
Indianapolis has the South. You have KC and Denver. Everybody else, throw them in a bucket and let's see what falls out.
Anybody goes on a 3-game winning streak has got a playoff shot at this
point. And going back to what I mentioned as far as Tennessee goes, I have a riser for you. Very quietly, Kendall Wright, 50 catches, 580 yards. Now, he only has one touchdown.
Right.
But I think this guy is really rising in the fantasy stock rise here a little bit.
A name we don't get very often.
Pardon me?
A name we don't get very often.
No, exactly. And you may want to keep him on your radar for next year if you're in redraft leagues. Jake Locker will probably be back. I'm not thrilled with either one of those quarterbacks, to be honest with you.
Comes out from the Titans today that they're not comfortable right now that Jake Locker is their quarterback of the future, and I can't say as I blame him.
I can't say I blame him either, but I don't think they're any more comfortable with Ryan Fitzpatrick either.
Well, certainly not.
But I think Kendall Wright is certainly on. But look, Kenny Britt's out of there.
Yeah,
Kendall Wright's going to be the guy. Nate Washington's hot and cold, and he's hurt a lot.
Yeah, no question about it. So moving on to somebody falling a little bit, Rick. Here's a guy more of a discussion of, because this is a guy you're playing every week. Vincent Jackson in the last two games, 5 catches for 39 yards, hasn't scored a touchdown since week 7. Here now, he's put up some big, big catch and yardage games since week 7, but the last 2 weeks, 5 catches for 39 yards. They moved the ball pretty well last week. That's what's concerning to me. I want to blame this on Glennon and ask the question, is Mike Glennon killing Vincent Jackson? But they moved the ball fairly efficiently last week. Just a fluke? Are you getting nervous about it? I own V-Jax in a ton of leagues, Rick, and I'm a little nervous. I went into our League of Consequence. Going into the Sunday night game, I'm down 30 with Tony Romo on Sunday night and V-Jax on Monday. My opponent was done. Chalk up the win. Yeah.
Wrong.
Couldn't get it done. Come up five short. Vincent Jackson just crushing me. Five grabs, 39 yards in the last 2 weeks.
I'd like to be
able... Is that enough of a trend for you?
I'd like to be able to tell owners to relax with Vincent Jackson, but I don't know if I can. You know as well as I do, you get a new quarterback, especially a young guy, he's going to develop rapport, maybe with a totally different guy than who was there before.
You see, Underwood making a ton of catches.
Exactly, right.
The tight end. Different guys catching the ball. Vincent Jackson. And I think if you're going up against a guy with Glennon, when you have a talent like Vincent Jackson, the defenses can roll coverage, double team him constantly,
right,
and go ahead and say, let's let the young guy beat us to these young wide receivers.
Right.
As a defense, I have no fear. I'm not going to let V-Jax get singled up and streak down the field because I'm not scared of Mike Glennon going to these other receivers. So
I agree.
I'm nervous. I'm not going to recommend sitting him yet, but it's something I'm keeping an eye on. 2 weeks is not a trend, but it's concerning to me.
But a one-win team is,
right,
and that's another thing to keep an eye on. I'll tell you what, I got a faller that is actually on a very potent offense, Marquise Colston.
Yeah,
a lot of owners out there drafted him as a wide receiver one, or at least a high end wide receiver two. He's at 34 catches, 449 yards, and two touchdowns. But the biggest asterisk I see on that, in week four, he had 96 yards against Miami, and just last week against Dallas, he had 107 yards, which was nice to see finally. But if you take those two games away, in eight games, he had 246 yards. You cannot live on that when you drafted this guy as your first or your high second wide receiver. And, you know, you got a guy like Stills that's actually, I mean, he's one of my risers. We may or may not get to him. But you got guys like Stills taking place of like the Devery Henderson. You got Jimmy Graham, of course. You got this plethora of running backs that just keeps going on New Orleans. There's probably more miles to feed on New Orleans than Denver.
And there's the problem with Colston. Nice to see him come back last week. My first thought, I actually had him on the bottom of my risers list, is a guy I'm keeping an eye on. Coming off the bye week, you think maybe he got healthy, you get readjusted, you have that big week. But you nailed it. Meacham's back, sometimes gets some catches, still
right,
really
Lance
on the
Moore.
Rise. Unless I've got Jimmy Graham, I'm never comfortable. You feel like you have to play these New Orleans guys because they could go off at any point. There's been weeks I've recommended Stills and he's had two catches for 35 yards. There's been weeks I've said to sit him down and he still only had three catches, but they were for 180 yards and two touchdowns. That's the New Orleans offense. It's frustrating. It's hard to do. And Colston is a guy, I don't know if you can sit him because he has the potential to go for seven for a $107 and a touchdown.
Right.
Hopefully he's getting reintroduced, but when you have a guy like him, you're going to have to plug your nose and be prepared to take a loss every now and then.
And what happens with Drew Brees and that offense, as soon as you roll a little extra coverage on a guy like Colson, bang, there's Kenny Stills
right,
for a 40-yard
yeah,
touchdown. Bang, there's Jimmy Graham again. Bang, Lance Moore's acrobatics up there. You can't do it.
Jimmy Graham's the only guy you trust week in and week out. Look, that foot could go on
Drew
him at any
yeah,
time.
Exactly.
Well, Drew Brees,
yeah,
obviously. So a guy on the rise for me, Rick, I know you're a big fan of his. You've been on this bandwagon, and I'll give you credit. It seems to be paying off. Alshon Jeffrey, Rick, for the Bears on the other side of Brandon Marshall. The last three games, 18 grabs for 280 yards. Not much of a touchdown producer. That's Brandon Marshall's role. But if I'm in a PPR format, if I got a guy averaging six carries and over 100 yards over a three-game stretch, a game and a half of that without Jay Cutler, Alshon Jeffrey on the rise and becoming a low-end wide receiver, too, a guy you've got to find a spot in your lineup.
And I'm going
for
to give all fantasy owners out there a little tidbit of information about Alshon Jeffrey. In PPR formats, with three touchdowns, he still has more fantasy points than Wes Welker with nine.
Right.
And Wes Welker is traditionally is
the PPR guy.
He's the PPR hawk.
Wes
yeah,
Welker is PPR guy.
Exactly. Yeah, PPR man. But, But no, he has more fantasy points in PPR format than Wes Welker, and Wes Welker has 9 touchdowns, and that is amazing.
Yeah, no question about it. So Alshon Jeffrey, certainly a guy. I think you've got to work him in your lineup. We get questions about him every Sunday. Hey, if you're new to the show, every Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern, live on Blog Talk Radio and AsylumFantasySports.com. We do a call-in show, a Sunday morning show called The Inside Slant. You can tweet us at Asylum Football.
Yes.
Send us emails at AsylumFantasySports@gmail.com. Send us those emails. We answer all your lineup questions. So please check those out as well.
An hour and a half of nothing but fantasy knowledge and answering your questions.
Your fantasy goodness is all it is.
It's just fantasy gold.
All right. Do you owe me a fall or a riser, Rick?
I owe you a riser, but we're going to take a quick break, and we'll get right to it as soon as we come back.
So we will take a break. We will get out of here. We'll be right back. And we're back. Last segment of the show, Rick. Welcome back. This is the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show on the Armed Forces Radio Network. Hey, I mentioned it for the last segment. Give us a follow on Twitter, at Asylum Football. Keep up with all the comings and goings of Fleeger and Briggs.
Yes, indeed. You do not want to miss a thing.
All right. Let's not make a...
I'll tell you a riser.
All right. Give me a riser, Rick.
Here is a riser that is rising rapidly, and I'm a believer in this guy.
Like the monkey, or who sang I'm a Believer? Was that the Monkees?
Actually, it was the Monkees made it a hit. It was written by Neil Diamond.
Neil Diamond.
And actually recorded by Neil Diamond as well.
Whose was better, Neil Diamond or the Monkees?
Neil Diamond. He was real.
Can't lie, I like the Monkees.
Yeah, that was a great show. Man, that was a funny show. That was like freaked out slapstick.
Yeah.
It was really neat.
That 60s, 70s acid trip everybody
exactly.
was on. I kind of dig that. You lived through it.
It was almost, you know, coming, the Monkey Show was just like a continuation of like the Beatles, Help, and so forth, the movies they made. And it was good stuff. Case Keenum. That is a riser, a quick riser. And this guy's got 822 yards and 7 touchdowns. And, you know, in 3 games with Houston. Albeit he's making a few rookie mistakes, but he's got an arm. He is not afraid. You know, the old air quotes like you do with Brett Favre. This kid's a gunslinger.
He is going to.
Yeah, look, Andre Johnson has 5 touchdowns where you didn't have any with Matt Shaw.
And there's been plenty of seasons, good seasons, number one fantasy receiver seasons, and Andre Johnson didn't have 5 touchdowns.
Exactly.
So you talk about the rapport for a young quarterback. There it is right there, and Andre Johnson. Why not build that
rapport with
him?
What better guy to lean on than Andre Johnson?
Absolutely, and he's doing it. And that's always been the knock on Andre Johnson, is he's going to get you the catches, he's going to get you the yardage, but he falls behind some of those top-tier guys because he's not getting the end zone. Now he's doing it.
And making a case for Case Keenum.
Making a case for Case
Keenum. In our League of Consequence, I'm actually starting him this week over Phillip Rivers going against that tough Miami defense and only gives up about, maybe 8-9 points to quarterbacks.
Gutsy, but I can't blame you. The kid's getting it done. So let's just keep going with this, Rick, with the risers and fallers so we can get that out. Another guy falling, Rick, for me, falling fast. Been falling all year. I shouldn't even say he's falling, but I'm just more curious, Rick, if you feel he's finally reached bottom. Can you play Ray Rice at this point at all?
I don't play Ray Rice. You can't. I can't say you don't because I don't know every owner's out there. We all know the ifs, ands, or buts.
Yeah, there's always an exception.
But if you draft to say a Ray Rice and then I don't know, pick somebody, a Frank Gore or something on that line, and then later on as you're filling your roster with a D'Angelo Williams or help me, I'm just trying to think of some. And Andre Brown.
Andre Brown.
Like that.
Andre Ellington.
Yeah, Andre Ellington. Ray Rice is set. Yeah. There's no question about that.
1.6 yards per carry over the last 2 games and getting some carries. Yeah, the story with him was always if he struggled, it's because they weren't giving him any work. Yeah, but we're only talking 15, 16 carries. But at 1.6 yards per carry, how many carries are you going to give him? Him getting 30 carries wouldn't have made a darn bit of difference.
No.
I don't know who you start Ray Rice over. I'd start Chris Ivory over him this week.
Definitely.
I can't name a guy I'd start him. I'm going to have to see a game or two where he gets it rolling.
I would probably
again.
Start him over like a Rashard Mendenhall, who's losing all kinds of work to Ellington. I would start him over, I don't know.
And this isn't strong company you're meant. Right. You can't name three guys you'd play him over right now.
Exactly.
So let's get one more time, and we'll get into the game show, Rick. But let's give one more riser each. Why don't we try that?
Okay, but I'm going to give you another trivia question.
Oh, okay. Let's do that.
Who is the career leader in completion percentage?
Career leader, and it's got to be somebody off the wall.
This is all modern era guys because obviously with the rules changes, guys like Johnny Unitas and them certainly didn't have the completion percentage that modern guys do.
Is he currently playing?
No.
No.
So. The oldest guy on this list is Joe Montana, tied for 12th.
All right.
So he retired in 94, so everybody else is more modern than Joe Montana.
Trent Green.
That's not a bad guess. He's actually on the list.
Oh, wow.
He's down around 30.
Oh, okay. I thought I was close.
No. It actually was a good guess. I mean, he made the list.
Yeah, he's on the list. I like that. Steve McNair.
No, he's not even on the list.
I'm going the wrong direction.
Yeah,
why don't you just tell me, Rick?
Chad Pennington.
Oh, good Lord. Chad Pennington.
66% of
He never threw it more than 4 yards.
Well, exactly. Exactly. Well, why do you think Montana's got such a high percentage playing in the 70s, 80s, and early 90s with the different rules that they even have now?
That's true.
They're West Coast.
Yeah, the old West Coast offense. Whatever happened to that? Warren Moon's offense. Where'd
it's
that
still
go?
Kind of around.
Run and shoot. I miss the run and shoot.
Okay, I'm going to.
I
owe you another faller?
No, give me a riser. Let's both do a riser, and then we'll play the game.
Okay, I tell you what, here's a guy right now. Arian Foster is out, and if there's a time that Ben Tate's stock is rising, it is right now. They're moving the ball through the air. I hate to just go on the same team, but it is a different position. But Ben Tate, this is good. He's contract year. Everybody's speculating he's going to get a starting job somewhere next year. It may be in Houston for all we know.
He could be.
But,
Arian Foster dealing with I don't like messing with a guy with back surgery.
No, exactly.
I think the Texans are going to.
But
they
go against Oakland, I think, this week. So get him in your lineup, and I think his stock's going to be rising.
Yeah, no question about it. I think in every week, start with all the struggles at the running back position in fantasy football, you're going to be hard pressed to find 12 guys you're going to start over Ben Tate every week. For me, Rick, we talked about him a lot on Sunday on the Inside Slant, 10 o'clock Eastern on AsylumFantasySports.com. Riley Cooper in the last two games, 8 grabs, 241 yards, 5 touchdowns. I can't ignore the 5 touchdowns.
I just have a question. When are defenses going to decide that Riley Cooper needs to be covered?
Problem is, all credit to DeSean Jackson, Rick. He's streaking down the scene at 90 miles an hour, drawing a safety. Riley Cooper's just running free, plus the threat of LeSean McCoy and everything he can do out of that backfield. Riley Cooper benefiting Chip Kelly's system, I don't think it's panned out the way we thought it would, but here's the benefit of it to a guy like Riley Cooper.
They're benefiting from Nick Foles is what
from. As well.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question about that. He wasn't getting any numbers with Mike Vick in there. And, you know, DeSean Jackson, by contrast, was.
Yeah,
case in point, what we were just talking about, how the dynamics of a position change, especially at quarterback, can really alter your fantasy team, a la Case Keenum falling on Andre Johnson.
Right.
When Matt Schaub really didn't. Here's Nick Foles falling on
Riley Cooper of all
where
people.
Mike Vick was on DeSean Jackson.
But I think it's legit. You know, the first week it happened, the 3 touchdowns, the big, all right, it's one game, had the right matchup. He did it again, Rick.
Yeah, I know.
Now, not putting up huge catch numbers. I mean, we're talking, 8 catches over those two games. But he's getting deep. He's getting in the end zone. I think until this ends, ride the wave. I know you picked him up, but he's one of those guys I've seen in leagues. Everybody picks up and nobody puts him in their starting lineup, and he puts up these numbers on somebody's bench. Put him in there. Could it go away? Certainly.
Yeah.
But ride the wave while you still can.
I agree.
All right, Rick, let's move on. Before we get out of here, an oldie but a goodie. We haven't done it since the summertime, Rick. I think it's time for us to play Fact or Fiction.
I don't think I've heard a better idea out of you in years.
Yeah, I'm not full of very many good ideas, but I think this one certainly is a good idea. So it's time for Fact
or Fiction.
All right, Rick.
Okay, now this is for all you listeners that are not familiar with Fact or Fiction. That is fact.
Fairly obvious.
I don't know where that went. Oh, there it is. There's a little fiction. Low, but that is fiction.
So fact or fiction, Rick.
There we go.
All right. Enough with the fiction. All right. Rick, I'll start this show. Peyton Manning, fact or fiction. Peyton Manning will finish the season for the Broncos.
Yeah, I think he will finish the season. Peyton Manning is not taking a lot of hits. You mentioned that. I mean, he's taking more than what you would ever want him to see, obviously. You know, he bunged that ankle up, you know, a few weeks ago, and it just aggravated, and it wasn't a hard hit. He was actually scrambling a little bit, and the guy just dove and actually grabbed his ankles and his chest landed on it, and certainly aggravated a little bit. I don't think he's going out. I mean, they're in a dogfight for a division title, and I think Peyton Manning will be there.
Yeah, and the high ankle sprain, it's dreaded. It takes people out. It kills them. However, he's not a mobile quarterback anyhow. He hits his back foot and he throws the ball. He doesn't hold it. If there's a guy, it's going to annoy, but it's not going to really affect his progress. I think it's Peyton Manning, and I agree. As long as he can avoid further damage on it, I think he keeps rolling and he succeeds.
Okay, I agree 100% on that one. Fact or fiction, Mr. Flieger?
All right, Mr. A little respect, finally.
Yeah. Jordy Nelson stays a wide receiver one with Matt Flynn.
I'm going to say yes. He's done it with everybody. Who was this kid that played last week? I'd never heard of him before last week, or that practice squad kid was. Put up some numbers with Seneca Wallace. Look what Boykin's doing, too. That offense just seems to move. You wonder how much of it has to do with the scheme there in Green Bay. Jordy Nelson, sure hands, deep threat, going to get open. Obviously, I feel better with Aaron Rodgers throwing the ball to him, but I think you got Jordy Nelson. He's a number two wide receiver. He's not a number one fantasy wide receiver, but who are you going to bench him for?
Yeah, that's a good point. And but, you know, a lot of guys took Jordy Nelson beginning of the year as
right.
the wide receiver
True.
One.
True, and I think you can ride it out. He's got his up weeks, he's got his down weeks, but Jordy Nelson, not a guy I'm giving up on. Rick, fact or fiction, Zach Stacy will continue his recent success.
I think the Rams have found their guy. The Darryl Richardson experiment is over. I think Darryl Richardson is a good backup. There's no question about that, and he could start a few games for him. I just don't think he's the guy. Zach Stacy runs like he's on a mission. He reminds me running a lot like a combination of Maurice Jones-Drew and Marshawn Lynch.
Right, strong.
Yeah, strong
powerful.
But he's mad.
Hits the hole.
Yeah.
Yeah, real powerful. Look, we talked about this in the offseason, Rick, as we were trying to sort this out. I think we both agreed we thought it was going to be Darryl Richardson, and the year actually started that way. But when Jeff Fisher found his guy, he's going to give him the ball. Zach Stacy's getting the ball 26 times a game ever since he took over that starting gig. Averaging 4 yards a carry, you do the math. If he finds the end zone, they're huge weeks. But they're going to keep feeding him the ball. You knew once Jeff Fisher found his guy, he was going to get the ball, and here it is. And Zach Stacy, if he can stay healthy, he's been banged up every week but still manages to play. If he's getting that type of workload, Zach Stacy is a low-end number one fantasy running back to me right now.
Yeah, he
is. I can't name 12 better.
And the nice thing about this, you know, we're talking about the league and everything, but is the Rams, these teams that are 4-6, 5-5, whatever, they are going to be playing down to the wire to get into these playoffs. So you really have no fantasy worries. You know, any of these teams, remember some of the days back when the Colts were whatever, 13-2.
2 weeks before Christmas, yeah.
Exactly. Okay, I'm going to give you a little fact or fiction.
All right, you do that.
Fact or fiction. Jamaal Charles, per Mr. Briggs over here, his prediction, leads the league in rushing.
I don't see anybody else doing it. Adrian Peterson being inconsistent, falling victim to what's happening with the Vikings. He's been the most consistent guy. Maybe LeSean McCoy could pop back up, but he's had a couple of down games. I think you nailed it, Rick. I think Jamaal Charles is the man.
And to clarify the question, not so much not leading the NFL in rushing. Well, I picked him way back in February as the fantasy leader in...
Yeah, over Adrian Peterson.
Yeah,
you had him number
everybody.
One overall and the rare guy to do it. So for right now, we'll give you a big old pat on the back. Congratulations. We're mighty proud of you.
Oh, jeez.
That's just pathetic.
It's wonderful.
Absolutely sucking up here. All right, Rick, well, we have run out of time this week on the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show. Thank you to the Armed Forces Radio Network. Hey, give them a follow on Twitter, at the AFRN. Let them know you heard the Asylum here. Check us out, AsylumFantasyFootball.com, AsylumFantasySports.com, all over the place. We appreciate it. We will be back Sunday on the Inside Slant, 10 a.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio. Check us out there.
Take care.
We'll see you.